Paul Charchian here, longtime fantasy players. You'll remember my first fantasy company, Fanball.com, one of the original fantasy sports sites. Great news. I've got the band back together. Yes, Fanball.com is back with many of the same people, and we're ready for a new era. You know, I built LeagueSafe as the industry's first consumer protection service, making sure that winners got paid, so it shouldn't surprise you that Fanball.com is the only fantasy sports company built from the ground up with a singular mission to ensure fair play. In addition to all the awesome free content that you remember from Fanball, we also have season-long and daily fantasy sports contests. And best of all, Fanball.com has the Fanball number. Your Fanball number identifies your skill level and ensures that you play in contests against players at your skill level. No longer will regular players like you be overrun by hundreds of expert-level entries into your contests. If your Fanball number is 55, you're not going to be playing against experts rated in the 80s and 90s. I've leveled the playing field with a Fanball number at Fanball.com. Get your Fanball number today.
From LeagueSafe World Headquarters, it's fantasy football almost daily. With Paul Charchian.
He's bare-chested and banging his chest.
Christian Peterson.
Waving his arms.
Matt Harrison.
Some goofball in a hat.
And Brian Jones.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Almost Daily. I am not Matt Harrison, the usual host of this show. I'm not sure where Matt is.
He's lost. We haven't seen him
in
days.
Yeah, he might. I think he's probably finally taking care of those herpes, if I had to guess. But Matt's not here, so I'm Christian Peterson. I'm hosting today, along with Scott Fish, who you already heard, and John Tuvey, making his much-anticipated DFS podcast debut here with Fantasy Football Almost Daily.
I was just happy that I'm not Matt Harrison also. Especially with the herpes.
That's right. And no Brian Johnson today either. I don't know what he's doing either. Might be, you know.
Do you think
he was looking into that sex change operation?
Well, I was thinking the herpes tie might be. Yeah. You know, they're two for one at the free clinic or something?
That could be. Actually, that's a very good point. All right. So anyways, we'll move on from that. We'll as usual, we will focus on the main slate, the Sunday slate for the DFS games that are on fanball.com right now. Before we dig into the games, there's a couple of contests we should probably talk about. One is this week's Charch Chase Championship contest. It's been a free roll for the first 3 weeks. It's not free anymore, but it's only $5, and it's kind of a similar deal. $5 entry. The grand prize, I believe, is $500, and then everybody who beats Charch's score in the tournament gets a ticket to the Chase Charch Championship, which occurs in week 17, and there's a $15,000 prize pool for that championship. And last week, Charch finished third in that contest. He can't win any money. He didn't win any money, but only two people won a ticket to the Charch Chase Championship.
And you wonder why nobody's signing up this week. They're afraid. They're running scared.
Yeah, we're a little low right now. There's a max of 459 entries. There's only 94 people in it right now, so potential for some overlay here. But you can find that contest at fanball.com/charch. So definitely get into that one, a $5 entry fee. And then we have our what has turned into a weekly Scott Fish Bowl special. Scott, why don't you tell us about that one?
Yeah, I got my own GPP on Fanball. You can win a spot in my giant Scott Fish Bowl tournament that has analysts from virtually every site around the fantasy football industry. You can play with some of your favorites. It's also a $5 entry, $2,000 prize pool. The top winner does get that spot, but they also get $500 cash, and it's about half full right now. It filled up a day before the games last week.
It's been filling up quick. It might be our most popular contest on the whole site right now, which speaks to the popularity of the Scott Fish Bowl. So definitely look for those two contests, and then you can create your lineup as you follow along with this podcast. So let's jump into the first game, which is Carolina at New England. I don't know, a couple of questions here from a DFS standpoint. One, we know the Patriots defense is horrible. Yep. So are you going in on Cam Newton? I know you can't trust Cam Newton.
No.
He's at 7,500. I would almost think that his salary would have started dropping a little bit because of how bad he's been. But the New England pass defense is bad enough that I don't know if Newton's going to figure it out, and I don't know. It's pretty tempting at just 7,500, considering they're on the road in New England. They're going to be down big, and that can go it feels like that can go one of two ways. Sometimes that just turns totally awful for everyone and the whole the whole offense shuts down, and sometimes it results in a ton of garbage time stats. So I don't know, are you interested in Newton at all, either?
Not even remotely.
No,
if he couldn't get it right against the Saints, I have no faith in it. The Patriots are just as bad, but on defense I can't imagine him getting it right. I'm more interested in other options, and also Kelvin Benjamin's gimpy, Cam Newton's shoulder and ankle are hurt. There's nothing for me to like with Newton here.
You don't like the Newton to Funchess connection that developed over the end of last week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was heavily targeted after Benjamin went down.
Yeah, connection's probably the wrong word.
Yeah.
He was, and he caught almost none of them.
Disconnection.
Two of those passes were intercepted.
At 3,800, though, I bet he's going to be pretty popular.
Yeah,
in terms, you know, just because he's so cheap, and we don't know. Mm-hmm. Kelvin Benjamin, it sounds like, is going to play now, which is a little bit of a surprise. It went from, like, you know, fearing season ending to, like, he might play now. Yeah. At 6,600, he certainly isn't in the mix for me. He hasn't been good enough, and he's not healthy enough, but I bet Funchess will be a little bit popular here. What about Christian McCaffrey, Charch's guy? I think he's been in Charch's lineup every week, and he kind of finally paid off last week with that big game. What did he have, 8 or 9 catches in that game against the Saints last week? 9 catches for 101 yards. Yep. So he hit that 100-yard bonus, which is important on Fanball. But he's up to 7,000. Do you guys have any interest in him?
It's a great matchup. The Patriots, even in last year's playoffs and the end of last year, gave up a ton of receptions to running backs. They're averaging nearly 5.67 receptions and 84 receiving yards a week to pass catching running backs. That's just prime Christian McCaffrey zone.
Yep.
I don't know that his price is going to get lower. Like you said, this might be one of your last opportunities to jump in. I still have a couple guys ranked higher that are priced lower. So
yeah,
I'm not jumping in on McCaffrey, but where he's at, what is that running back about? 12, 15 maybe among the pricing. It's a guy to consider, but yep. I still think there's a couple of decent values below him.
So what about the other side of this matchup? Are we to the point now, the point that we've reached, you know, it seems like weekly in years past, where if you're doing multiple lineups on Fanball, does one of them have to be a Patriots stack? Just because they're so explosive.
Just in case.
You know, that's the point that we reached in the past, where even if you didn't like it, you had to do at least one in case they went off again, like they did every week. But Brady's up to 8,400. Brandon Cook's up to 8,600, despite just really having just one good game.
Right.
So that feels like a lot for Cooks. Gronk is 7,300. Chris Hogan's price has climbed. He's at 6,200.
It's too tough to do now.
It's hard. Maybe the good news is you don't have to worry that much about the running backs, because that's turned into, I guess, what we thought it would be, which is, you know, Gillislee just doesn't do much. He does nothing unless he scores, and then the rest of them all kind of split carry. So you don't have to worry about the running game.
Yeah, and you don't want to pay the 6,800 for a
gamble on a touchdown.
A 60-70% chance of the score, but you don't want to pay that price for that.
Yeah, there needs to be probably a stack, although you said it's getting too pricey, but if you have multiple lineups, one of them needs to have at least Brady, because he's the guy that's going to generate points out of there. You mentioned the backfield. It's too messy. Cooks, you know, Hogan could be the guy that goes off, and maybe the way to play it is Brady and then whoever McCaffrey, the cheapest third, the third cheapest receiver for the Patriots. So
only played three last week. So
Brady Amendola might be the stack to go, and you can still round out the rest of your lineup.
Yeah, I don't know if I can cut. I believe last week they had, like, what, three targets. It's tough for me to go for even the cheap receivers.
All right, let's move to the next game. We've got Cincinnati at Cleveland. At probably the most interesting and most popular player here will be Joe Mixon on the Bengals side. Although he is priced up at 6,700. The Fanball pricing is reflecting the idea that he maybe has taken over as really the bell cow here. I think we saw it last week. Jeremy Hill got a handful of carries, but it was all Mixon all the time, and it seemed to work. He didn't have a huge game, but the fact that he was on the field a ton, and now the matchup against Cleveland, at least theoretically, is a good one. So are you guys interested in Mixon at 6,700?
Absolutely. I think he'll be $1,000 more next week after the big game against Cleveland. I've got him as my number 12 running back this week, and he's sitting three spots below Christian McCaffrey, who we just talked about. And he's sitting right below Mike Gillisley, who we said we were afraid of. I think there's, with the 18 carries last week, there's so many opportunities for him to really just go nuts against the Browns this week. And you know, I'm buying. He's in of the internal lineups I have. I think he's in all of them. So
yeah, I agree. I think he'll be popular, and I think it's a good play. Although, you know, the $6,700 price tag might be enough to scare some people away.
I think it's fair.
Yeah, it's about right. So AJ Green is interesting. They fed him the ball last week. He finally had a big game. And of course now gets Cleveland. So, you know, if I'm paying up for a guy, a receiver this week, it might be AJ Green.
Antonio Brown had 182 on him. T.Y. Hilton had 153 on him. Now yep. We get AJ Green.
Yeah. 13 targets last week, scored the touchdown. You know, looks like they finally figured out that they need to get the ball to the few playmakers that they have, which is Mixon and Green. So does that make Andy Dalton intriguing at all at $6,400, or is there just not enough surrounding AJ Green, not enough weapons here to think that Dalton's suddenly going to go from, you know, throwing 200 yards per game up to, you know, a huge 300 yard, three touchdown kind of game?
It makes sense because somebody has to throw the ball to AJ Green. So you'd think he'd be more valuable, but I look at the next four quarterbacks that are right below him in pricing, and I think I've got a better shot with each of those guys.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about Dalton. There's several guys below him. Yep. You know who I really like in this game is Brandon LaFell at $3,500.
Wow, okay.
Last year, Tyler Eifert was out for six games, and Brandon LaFell scored in four of them. And earlier this year, Tyler Eifert had a 15-snap game, and Brandon LaFell scored in that one. It feels like he's a guy they default to at $3,500. You know, if you're trying to stud up at other positions, mm-hmm. he might be a nice little sneaky play at $3,500.
Interesting. And Eifert is of course out this week, potentially several weeks beyond that. What about the Cleveland side? Cincinnati's defense is pretty good. You know, kind of top half kind of thing. Nothing that you need to be too worried about. But it feels like to feel comfortable at all with any Cleveland Browns, you need an extraordinary matchup, and this doesn't feel like it to me. You know, Deshaun mm-hmm. Kizer is still $5,700. He's got the rushing touchdown upside, but his receivers are a mess. There's not a single Browns receiver priced over $3,500. That tells you the caliber of his receivers. Kenny Britt was more involved last week.
It's gonna be that way every week. They're gonna flip. They're just gonna flip. I have no faith.
Maybe the guy is Duke Johnson.
Yep.
I mean, that seems to be a place where the Bengals can be exploited, is the short game, middle of the field, in the flats. And at $4,600, you know, he's, what, the 42nd priced running back? So
yeah, six catches for 81 yards last week.
184 in the last two games.
Yeah, so that's the PPR angle. And, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe his price tag hasn't really caught up to him yet. So $4,600 is kind of intriguing, and he's really, you know, he might be their most dangerous player at this point, which isn't saying much. All right, let's move on. Let's get away from that atrocious game. Let's go to, another game, maybe even worse, Jacksonville at the Jets.
Oh, now you said that last week, and Jacksonville dropped 44 points on us. So.
Is there any way to explain what happened in that game? It was so bizarre.
Well, they drive on the wrong side of the road over there, so it was opposite day. I don't know.
Yeah. It feels like they're so good over there, too.
I mean, I think needless.
Well, it's a home game. It's a home game for Jacksonville.
Yeah. But needless to say, we can't trust Blake Bortles, right?
Yep.
I mean,
and don't buy into Mercedes Lewis.
Tubi sounds like he's interested
in
Bortles.
I talked about Bortles a little bit in the quarterback's value piece, and it was kind of a. Yeah, I took a shot last week with Jay Cutler. I'll take a shot this week with Blake Bortles. Kind of the same thing. The Jets aren't necessarily as bad as we think they are, but if they're not able to run against the Jets, and maybe they will, maybe they'll load up Fournette, but Bortles probably isn't as bad as we think he is either. So for $6,100, you know, floating around at quarterback 20, he's like the lowest-priced quarterback. I'm not going to dip any further than him. If I've studded out my lineup elsewhere, I'll throw some money. Although Cutler's $6,100 too, so you can flip your coin.
$5,700. Keenum's
5600. So if you go with Bortles, do you pair him with somebody? And if you do, is it Marquise Lee or is it Allen Hurns? They're priced virtually the same, 5200 and 5400, probably because at this point it feels difficult, if not impossible, to determine which one is going to do anything from game to game. Are you interested at all? The price is okay, and I guess the only reason you would be, I think, is if you are doing a Bortles lineup, right?
Right.
Then it makes sense to try to pair him with somebody. But then in my mind, that means that makes rostering Bortles that much more difficult because you don't want to put them both in there. And how do you choose between those two?
If you think the Jets sell out against the run, put 8-9 in the box and try and stop Fournette, then you consider a low-end dumpster dive Jaguar stack with Hurns, Lee, and Bortles, and then you start out the rest of your lineup because you haven't spent any money.
That would be bold. That would be bold. How about Leonard Fournette? 7,900. You know, the price has caught up to the production here. He's getting a ton of carries, a ton of touches. He's not doing much with them, 3.5 yards per carry, surviving because of his 3 touchdowns in 3 games at this point. Although, I will admit, more involved in the passing game than maybe I expected to be. 12 targets, 8 receptions, and 66 yards to date. So that helps, and the Jets have been pretty bad against the run. They were horrible against the run until inexplicably shutting down Jay Ajayi last week, right?
Let's not talk about that.
So I don't know. So you know, everybody loved Ajayi last week. So did the Jets figure something out, or was Miami just that bad? And if, you know, depending on what you believe there, you could go one way or the other on Fournette. You either believe the Jets are what they were in the first couple of weeks, where people were just running roughshod over them, or they figured something out and you stay away from them.
I'm in the firm belief, especially watching Tampa Bay last week as well, that those teams just, they'd only played 2 games. And the first 2 weeks we saw that scoring was way down. They didn't have their feet yet. I expect both those teams to be better now. And I think that's part of why the Dolphins didn't show up against the Jets.
Yeah, Fournette's too expensive for me at 7,900. Yep. I think I'm spending, I can find better backs in that price range. And on the Jets side, is there anything at all to worry about here? You know, really, Jacksonville is extremely good against the pass, so that, to me, it just rules out the passing game altogether right off the top. But they've been bad against the run. The problem is there anything to exploit that? So Jacksonville's giving up 4.7 yards per carry right now, which is one of the worst marks in the league. So
we got to know Forte's out. That's the big
yeah,
question.
Forte's got the turf toe now, right?
And if he plays, I don't like anyone. If he doesn't, Bilal Powell might see a ton of touches, and Elijah McGuire was, the last 2 weeks has been very effective.
That's the sneaky guy, right? Yeah. I mean, Bilal Powell is averaging 2.6 yards per carry and just does not look like the same player that he was last year, and the Jets are going nowhere. Like, there's granted, it's early in the season to take that attitude, but there's no upside to giving Bilal Powell a ton of carries.
Right.
So maybe Elijah McGuire at 3,600 is an interesting guy.
I actually
picked him up in like 3 or 4 of my season long leagues just as sort of a dart throw, just in case, because he's a young guy. And again, sort of my theory here is that eventually the Jets are going to have nothing to play for and that they're going to want to turn it over to McGuire. I just don't know if that's, it's probably not this week.
Yeah.
Austin Seferian Jenkins also priced at 3,600, just a shade too high for my blood. You know, because
I've seen a lot of people talking about him this week.
Well, he was their most targeted receiver last week.
Yeah,
so
6 targets, 5 catches, 31 yards last week. That's the problem, right? You can be the best receiver on the Jets and come out with a line like 5 catches and 31 yards. Okay, what's the next game here? Let's move on to Pittsburgh at Baltimore, where we have no idea what to expect from Joe Flacco, who's been simply awful all season long. Yeah, so
I'd say expect nothing and you won't be disappointed.
Yep, there's no reason to go in on Flacco this week. The prices are rock bottom here. But Jeremy Maclin, I don't think there's much to see there. Maclin was dropped in some of my season-long leagues as well, and I tellingly did not go pick him up. I don't know if I trust anything at all on the Baltimore side of this game.
Ben Watson would probably be the only way to go as a
even
low
last week.
End.
What did he have? Like 3 catches for 12 yards or something?
Yeah, everybody loved him last week, and he disappointed. So
yeah, I don't like the Baltimore side here. I don't really love the Pittsburgh side for values anyway either.
No, well, and they're on the road, right? We know they're worse on the road than they are at home. So Ben Roethlisberger at 7,600 and Antonio Brown at 9,100. That's a pretty high price to pay for both of those guys. Martavis Bryant is up to 7,000. That's too high in my mind.
Yeah.
And Bell, Le'Veon Bell, I saw he came out this week on Twitter or some interview or something and admitted he hasn't been that special player yet this year. Which is absolutely true, averaging just 3.5 yards per carry. Only one touchdown today. He, of course, is still involved in the receiving game. But at $9,000 on the road against, what should be a tough Ravens defense and probably
a motivated
Ravens defense after
thoroughly
what happened
embarrassed
last week.
Ravens defense.
So, yeah, I don't really see anything at all that I like in this game. So, unless you guys do, should we move on?
Jesse James at 4,000 is a little interesting, but I just like other options. I mean,
Baltimore's been bad against tight ends.
Yeah, and Vance McDonald trade, we thought it would make a difference, but the Pittsburgh has targeted the tight end 18 times. 17 of them were Jesse James. I mean, he's clearly the only guy in town. So, and the Ravens, obviously the big game to Mercedes Lewis last week, but even outside of Mercedes Lewis, they've allowed 7 receptions for 120 yards and a score over the last two. That's without Mercedes.
Yeah, I think I like James. We've mentioned like 3 or 4 tight ends in that 3,500 to 4,000 range right now, and I think I like James the best so far. Let's move on to Tennessee at Houston. I don't know. Expected to be a low-scoring game here. The over-under is set at just 44. There's not a lot to like here either. Maybe Deshaun Watson at home for some upside at just 5,600. Pat actually threw the ball pretty well last week. I believe he went over 300 yards passing.
I'd pay up for DeAndre Hopkins. He's 8,200. It's about 1,000 less than 900 less than Antonio Brown. Great track record against the Titans. Over the last 6 games, he's averaged 6 catches, 111 yards, and that includes that game where he went 1 for 4 and was completely taken out. So 5 out of 6 of the last times he's owned the Titans.
Yeah, most targeted receiver in the NFL right now too. So Watson is certainly looking his way. I kind of like that actually because he really hasn't had kind of a breakout game. He's been having decent games and his price probably reflects that fact that he hasn't had that breakout game. So maybe it's coming here. A Watson Hopkins pairing is actually looking kind of intriguing to me. In the running game, Lamar Miller at 6,000, there's just no reason to roster Lamar Miller right now, in my mind. Deontay Foreman is lurking. Lurking, but not getting enough touches to be relevant either. So I think, I don't know, Will Fuller comes back this week, right? For the Texans?
That'll be good for a couple deep drops. I mean,
yeah, right. After what we saw late last year, I'm not too interested in him. How about the other side here? The Titans, Mariota, 7,100. He hasn't been good enough to warrant paying anywhere near that price in DFS, and the matchup is not great here either. Running backs, DeMarco Murray, everybody thought this was going to be the Derrick Henry game last week, and then, of course, it wasn't. DeMarco Murray suited up and had a huge game.
A huge run.
I tried to work up some excitement for Murray because he has had some success against the Texans. That is an offensive line that's playing well. You saw, the one run. He's performed fairly well when healthy this year, but at 7,900, I just couldn't muster enough enthusiasm.
I think the interesting plays here are the wide receivers, Matthews and Decker. Decker is the contrarian play to Matthews, who had a huge connection with Mariota last year, and once Corey Davis was ruled out, that connection came right back last week with 10 targets. Decker's a better red zone guy, so I think that there's potential there. But I would still lean Matthews for, I believe,
900
more than Decker. I'd probably take that and go with the targets there for Matthews. Both can make plays, though, because over the last 2 games, there have been 4 receivers against the Texans that have amassed at least 4 catches and at least 60 yards. Okay. So maybe both can hit that 10-point marker in fan ball scoring.
All right. Let's go to the next game. What do we have here? Los Angeles Rams at Dallas Cowboys. Expecting a decent amount of scoring. Over-under is 47.5 here. Are we buying into Jared Goff after the last we saw him was the Thursday night game 2 weeks ago where he went off against against the 49ers? He's just 6,000. I can see people, you know, having that memory of him from last Thursday, but this is a different situation on the road in Dallas than it was playing against the 49ers. So I personally am not quite believing it yet on Jared Goff. He certainly looks better than he did last year, but that's a pretty low hurdle to jump over. It's not saying much. So I'll need to see him do it. I'll need to see him do it more and against better defenses before I'm interested.
Well, and like Scott mentioned earlier, just below him for $100 savings is Trevor Siemian, who I'm lukewarm on, but much warmer than Jared Goff this week.
Yep. So Sammy Watkins had the breakout game last week, but again, I'm of the opinion that I can't trust Goff right now, and Watkins has been so up and down. He had two pretty bad games before that breakout effort.
Heck, Woods is the target leader for that team.
Yeah, Robert Woods at 3,500. Maybe that's the play here if you're looking for a cheap guy.
Two avowed Robert Woods apologists over here. We should be agreeing with more.
Yeah, the fact that you're not.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
yeah.
They spread the ball around a lot there. He did have that one game where he only had one catch. So it is a little bit more scary. I think Woods would be the play among wide receivers. I will say this about Goff. I mean, Dallas allowed 4 touchdowns to Siemian and 2 touchdowns to Palmer last week. And their 2 cornerbacks are out again. So, I mean, 6,000, he'd be in that list of maybes for me. But, yeah, there are a couple guys around the same price that I like.
What about Gurley? 8,600, has a million touchdowns in the first 3 games. But, still, you know, averaging less than 4 yards per carry. He's been great, don't get
me
wrong.
His receiving is really helping.
His receiving helps. 13 catches, 140 yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns. But it all feels, you know, certainly it's unsustainable, but it feels a little fluky to me, right? Like, if he had half as many touchdowns, I don't know.
You'd probably feel better. If it was 3 touchdowns. Six makes it feel like such an outlier.
There's some regression here that's going to happen. And at 8,600, I'm not willing to pay in now on the idea that maybe this is the week where he doesn't hit pay dirt. And then he averages 3.5 yards per carry and gets 80 scoreless yards.
Yeah, so. Five of the next 6 guys on the price list I had ranked ahead of Gurley. And the one, actually all 6, but Melvin Gordon's the one that's a little concerning because of the knee injury. But, you know, Hunt, McCoy, Freeman, Delvin Cook, I'll save the money, and I like all of their chances better.
So on the other side, then, is Ezekiel Elliott any more attractive at 8,700? So he's a little bit more, despite significantly worse statistics than Todd Gurley. 8,700 feels like a lot to pay for Elliott right now.
Yeah, but the Rams are so bad against the run. This feels like one of those potential 150 two touchdown sort of afternoons.
Elliott does have 100 yards or a touchdown in every home game.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so he's better at home. Yeah, against a Rams defense that can't stop the run. All right, you've convinced me. If I'm paying up, I'll throw a dart at Elliott here. What about the passing game? Dak Prescott is just 6,300. He had a pretty good game last week. Dez Bryant, 7,800.
The only thing that's holding Dak back is the potential for a huge Zeke Elliott game. If Zeke has an okay game, that means Dak's going to probably get you 230 and 2 or 3. So for that price point, he's probably worth the risk. If you're not paying up on Zeke, or maybe you hedge the bet, I don't know. That seems like you're putting a little too many eggs in that basket against a Wade Phillips defense. But I see ways that Dak could be a valued piece of your lineup.
So what about Dez? He's had just a gauntlet of horrific matchups here. He had the Giants in week 1 with Janoris Jenkins, who's always had his number. He had Denver with their elite corners in week 2, and then he had Patrick Peterson last week. He's managed to score touchdowns in 2 straight, so he's kind of salvaged. He's salvaged this brutal stretch, at least for season-long owners. So now, you know, can we finally unleash him now against the Rams, or do we
Tremaine
wait until
Johnson's
next week against Green
either,
Bay? Well, I know, yeah, the Rams have Tremaine Johnson as well, who's decent, but not in the category of those other guys. So, but still, at 7,800, it still seems a little. If he was a little cheaper, I would be more tempted, but at this point I'm probably waiting for the schedule turns significantly better after this with Green Bay and then San Francisco shortly after that. So I'm not really on Dez here.
The price is a little too high still for him. For me.
Agreed. All right. Anything else to talk about here?
I don't think
so. You guys don't like anybody else? All right. Let's go to next game is Buffalo and Atlanta. Buffalo at Atlanta. How about LeSean McCoy here? Atlanta's been just brutal against the run. McCoy's been heavily involved in the receiving game, and that's the Atlanta thing right now. They give up a ton of receptions to opposing running backs. McCoy has 18 catches on the year. Tuvi, I think you already mentioned this when we were talking about Gurley in the last matchup, that McCoy is a guy who's a couple hundred cheaper than Gurley, who I think is a better option personally.
Yeah, I've got him as my number two. And the only concern I have is doesn't look like Cordy Glenn's going to play again this week, and that's a big piece of their running game. But as you said, they're throwing to him as well. So if it's not working between the tackles, send him outside, and Shady can get it done out there.
And pass-catching backs against Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At least seven receptions a game, and McCoy's the only back in town.
Yep. So then is there anything else here? Are you interested in Tyrod Taylor at 5,700? Mm-hmm. He just doesn't – he doesn't have the receivers to throw to. He's got Charles Clay, who's been okay, but it feels like he's really being held back by, well, potentially by his own talent or lack thereof, but then also by the fact that he just doesn't have any wide receivers that can do much. So this game is at an over-under of 48.5, which is pretty high. So there's a
– I think they're banking on a lot of Matt Ryan covering that.
Probably, yeah. There's potential for like a track meet, right, for garbage time for Tyrod Taylor. And of course, he has the rushing upside too, but it's sort of a shot in the dark. Mm-hmm. Even though it's 5,700, if you're looking for a cheap guy, I guess you know he's in the DeSean Kizer range.
I think
we've already talked about the Jared
Goff
range. I'd probably take Taylor over either of those guys if I was desperately trying to save at quarterback, but I'm not going to try too hard to get him in my lineup.
No.
Falcons side.
Well, first Charles Clay. I'm never going to stop going back to that well.
Okay.
6 touchdowns in 7 games. His price is starting to reflect it though.
Yeah, he's up to 4,800.
He's averaging 5 catches a game for the last 7 games. He's tight end 2 over that span as well.
Okay.
So
then, yeah, you know, then you could argue at 4,800, he still is a pretty good bargain, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's Ertz by like 40 points on him, and then he's about 5 points ahead of Kelsey. So,
all right. That's interesting. Atlanta side, what do we have here? Matt Ryan at 7,800. Julio Jones at 9 grand. Let's talk about that. That's really high for a guy who really hasn't done anything through the first 3 weeks. So I guess the idea here, if you're going in on Julio, is that everybody else has given up on him. They see 9 grand, they see the lack of production. And so nobody owns him. And then you get him for one of his patented, you know, 12 catch 100
yard.
Yeah. 200 yard, one or two touchdown games. But, so really, to me, it's sort of one of those contrarian plays where you're paying up for a guy that other people probably aren't going to.
How's the back? I mean, is he off the injury list, or are we going to be dealing with that question we dealt with all of last year? Where
it seems like we're always play? Yeah, it seems like we're constantly dealing with that with Julio, and he plays. He tends to play through it to his credit,
great, you know, a great new feature on the Fanball content site. John Holler is tracking questionable and what it means.
Yep.
His first article, Julio Jones has played 4 of 6 times when listed as questionable. He's averaging 4.3 catches for 60.5 yards with 0 touchdowns in those games.
In questionable games?
In questionable games. So
okay.
If Julio's listed as questionable, I'm not paying the 9 grand for sure.
Yeah, it's almost like they're using it like, again, to his credit, he suits up and plays, but maybe they'd be smarter not to because he seems like he's not necessarily at full strength.
To your contrarian point, though, maybe this just makes him even more of a contrarian play at that
right.
point.
And he's injured on top of the lack of production. What about the running game? We've got Devonta Freeman, who's up at 8,100, and now Tevin Coleman at 6,000. Brian's weekly advice here is to pay for the cheaper one in Tevin Coleman. It hasn't paid off so far, though. Freeman has the 4 touchdowns, almost as many receptions as Coleman has, but again, just the fact that they're splitting some of the looks to me makes I just feel queasy about paying all the way up for Devontae Freeman at 8,100. I'd much rather have McCoy, for example.
Yeah. Oh,
we just
yeah.
talked about for 300 more.
Yeah. Freeman's way out of the price range. The Bills were terrible in run D last year, like 3 200-yard games against them. Le'Veon Bell and Jay Ajayi twice. But this year, they haven't allowed any runner to have over 60 total yards against them. Granted, they've played the Jets, the Panthers, and the Broncos. But C.J. Anderson and McCaffrey and Stewart have been okay. So maybe their D has shored up a little bit this year.
All right. Next game we have on the docket here is the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings side, it probably – well, there's a decent amount to talk about on that side. Dalvin Cook now, he's up to 8,000. And has really done absolutely everything right, except he only has one touchdown through three games. That's the only thing you can quibble with here, because he's, I mean, he was on the field, I don't know how many, 75% of the snaps last week. He drew rave reviews for his pass protection. Obviously, we saw what he did with the 27 carries, and he erupted in the passing game as well. So $8,000 and what sort of a neutral matchup against Detroit. Do you pay $8,000 for Dalvin Cook?
Probably.
Yeah. He feels like I put together a lineup of sleepers I like, and I don't quite have enough to pay for Kareem Hunt or Ezekiel Elliott. Yep. I'm $500 to $700 short, but I'll settle for Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, well, right.
But, and I'm fine with
and
that.
That's, and that's right. That's a good point. You know, his price point is a little bit lower than really the group of players that he should be considered a part of right now. So what about the passing game? We're going to see Case Keenum again. Sam Bradford has already been ruled out. In one of my season-long leagues, the first Case Keenum game against the Steelers, I left Stephon Diggs in, thinking Diggs is good enough to get something done. And then they were so bad that I pulled Diggs out in last week's game. And, of course, we all saw what happened last week when Diggs just went off. At just 7,100... You know, Diggs, you're talking $2,000 less than Julio Jones, who we just talked about previously. And he, you know, at this point, you almost have to consider him in that tier of receivers. So at 7,100, you know, I'm guessing people are still maybe not believing it because of the Case Keenum factor. But at 7,100, again, that's a pretty good price. I think I'd consider putting Diggs into several lineups.
Yeah, I think Keenum dings the value of Thielen more than Diggs, just because Thielen does most of his work in the mid range to deep range, and Diggs can get his volume underneath and works the mid and deep as well. But if push comes to shove, Keenum can feel pretty comfortable dumping off to Cooks and to Diggs. And there were some good stats from Scott Barrett on Kyle Rudolph, who I also thought might benefit more from Keenum. But he's blocking more than he did last year, almost twice as much. I think it was like 12% of the passing snaps versus 25% this year. So Diggs is taking those looks that maybe went to Kyle Rudolph last year as well. So I think, at 7,100, he still holds value.
What about Keenum? He's 5,400.
Love.
Do you really?
I'm the oddball in this one. I like Keenum in this matchup. The Lions are allowing at least 230 yards and a score to every quarterback so far this year. That's 16 to 23 fantasy points on Fanball, and at 5,400, that is super cheap. And you got to remember, Keenum for the Rams last year, 321 yards and 4 touchdowns against the Lions.
So he knows his way around that secondary.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, it's mostly a price thing. I'm not saying he's going to be QB3 on the week. I'm just 5,400.
It's pretty tempting after what he did last week. What about the Lions side? We've got Matthew Stafford at 6,800. His receivers, Golden Tate at 67, Marvin Jones 53, Kenny Galladay 4,700. These guys are all – they're kind of spreading the love right now. Jones and Galladay have a couple of touchdowns, but Tate is getting most of the receptions and the yards. Somebody's going to match up against Xavier Rhodes, I'm guessing.
Sounds like Marvin Jones is probably if you saw his game against Patrick Peterson, he did have the touchdown.
Yep.
But literally that was the only target, and it was because it was an extended play, and Peterson slipped in the end zone and was so mad. he was pitching a shutout on Marvin Jones, which was pretty dang impressive. So Jones is going to have his work cut out for him.
Yeah, I agree. Minnesota's defense kind of looks bad on paper, their pass defense, but I think it's partially because they got up so big last week and Jameis Winston put up a bunch of garbage time. So I'm not that interested in the Lions' passing game. And
the play might be Riddick because the pressure is going to be, I mean, with Greg Robinson on at tackle, and they're already talking about what they're going to do to beat him, and that pass rush is going to be in Stafford's face. The only thing that can salvage Stafford is volume, because they just simply can't run the ball.
Yeah, and Riddick had I think he had the one good game in week one and then a couple of quiet games here, so his price is down to 4,700, and of course in the full PPR fan ball scoring system, that could be pretty valuable. Anything else to talk about in this game, or should we move on? San Francisco at Arizona is up next. Let's see. What should we start with here? How about the San Francisco side?
Yeah, because that'll go quick. I don't think there's anything there at any price. You know, Pierre Garçon on a value play, but he's going to be against Patrick Peterson. So as the president and bus driver of the Pierre Garçon fan club, I'm even backing away from Garçon this week.
All right. Then Carlos Hyde is really the only other interesting guy here, but it's a tough matchup. His price has climbed to 7,500. I don't know. There just doesn't feel like a super compelling reason to pay that price for Hyde.
This whole game, I just don't see it.
Yeah, so the other side, I think Carson Palmer is the angle on the other side.
Absolutely.
6,200 against the San Francisco pass defense that let Jared Goff throw for whatever it was last week, 300 and a couple touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So Palmer has actually looked pretty good in his last few games. So
he's been forced to. He has nothing else.
Second,
that's right.
No running game.
No running game at all.
Yeah, 132 attempts, which is second only to Aaron Rodgers, who added to that last night. He's averaging 308 yards per contest. He's in the quarterback values play article, and you've got San Francisco that actually isn't playing bad run defense. So, against the zero running game that the Cardinals offer, it's going to be a high volume game again for
and you can
Palmer.
Do a cheap kind of a mini stack here, certainly a pairing. Carson Palmer 6,200 and Larry Fitzgerald is only 6,600.
Yeah,
so that's the no-brainer pairing, is to put those two together. If you were going to do can you do anybody else, I guess, is the question. John Brown 3,800. We don't know if he's going to play. JJ Nelson is up to 4,800. He had zero catches for 0 yards
and
last
Jerron
week.
Brown has still been out snapping him despite JJ's, you know, bigger game 2 weeks ago. Jerron Brown is still getting more snaps.
All right, so I think it sounds like we're advocating a Palmer Fitzgerald duo, but don't go overboard and try to stack.
And don't call it a stack because
it's not a stack, right?
Brian will get mad.
All right, let's see. Let's move on to the next one. Philly at the Chargers. Yeah, this seems like kind of a boring game, too. Over-under is at 47.5. Let's start on the Philadelphia side. You've got Carson Wentz, kind of came back to earth last week. He's at 7,100. Alshon Jeffrey hasn't done much of anything, but he's priced down at 6,800. Maybe there's something there. Zach Ertz is at 6,700. He's been easily the best receiver of the bunch. I don't know. Any thoughts, anything sticking out here for you guys?
Go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say, if I'm going to bet on anything, it might be Smallwood taking over Sproles' role. He had the same amount of, you know, touches as Blunt last week, but I feel like he's the guy that's going to get involved in the passing game. And at 4,300, if you're looking for a cheap flex play at the end of your roster. Otherwise, I'm a guy who pays up for Zach Ertz. It's probably more often than I should, but okay. I always seem to feel like he is worth it.
I don't mind Carson Wentz as a mid to low end quarterback play. I think the Chargers' pass defense is a little overrated because they've seen 82 attempts. The only teams that have seen fewer passes against them are the two teams that only played two games. So Trevor Siemian, Jay Cutler, and Alex Smith have not exactly tested that defense yet. And I think with no running game, the Eagles are going to be forced to, whether it's short ball, Ertz in the middle of the field, Alshon Jeffrey with no Jason Verrett, who's out for the year. I see a lot of opportunity in Wentz.
All right, what about the other side here? It's been, I don't know, Phillip Rivers hasn't done much yet. He had he had a big game in week one with three touchdowns, 300 yards in week two, but just one touchdown, 237 scoreless yards last week. But Philadelphia was just destroyed by the Giants last week. Is there an angle here on Phillip Rivers at 6,800? It feels like you're trying a little bit too hard if you're going in on
this
one.
I think
he's in that middle ground where
matchups.
You're not paying up for a stud and you're not getting extreme value. It's weird.
And I don't know, Keenan Allen, 7,600. Tyrell Williams at 5,500. I'd like to say that's a pretty good value.
If I want one of those, I might weirdly go Benjamin, who had a huge game last week.
Yep.
And the Eagles have allowed, what is it, the most 20-yard receptions over the last season in three games, something like that. So
yeah, that secondary is still piecing itself together.
I still don't know if I love that play at 4,200, but I mean, it's out there.
He was the guy I was going to mention as well. I'm a huge Keenan Allen guy, and him working out of the slot is going to see some space. But for exactly the same reason, the Eagles secondary seems susceptible to that home run ball, and Travis Benjamin can provide it.
All right. That's it. Wait, no. How about the running game? Melvin Gordon, Tuvi, you mentioned him already.
He's hurt.
That you liked him.
I'm concerned about the injury. I don't know how much he's going to play and contribute. And at his price point, I'm looking elsewhere.
Who do we have? Who do we have backing him up?
Brandon Oliver, right?
$3,400. But you'd need a Melvin Gordon ruled out situation before you would go with Oliver. Okay, let's move on then to the next game, which is New York Giants at Tampa Bay. So Tampa Bay looked just horrendously bad against the Vikings last week. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, I think, had 270 receiving yards between them.
Sounds right.
So is everybody just going to be all over Odell Beckham in this game? At 8,900, is that the one guy that people are paying up for? At wide receiver, it probably is. And then
He's going to destroy him.
The question is, can you afford not to? Can you afford to go contrarian here and fade Odell Beckham? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think he's the clear-cut top receiver this week. I think he's going to absolutely destroy. So $8,900, I'm absolutely fine paying that price.
Yeah, any success that passing game is going to have, you saw it last week. Brandon Marshall's going to get his and Sterling Shepard. Maybe scrape some garbage points off there, but it's got to go through Beckham. And I think, if you're serious about it and you're going to pay up for him, you're going to have to build elsewhere.
And so then it's a pretty easy call to pair Beckham with Eli Manning in my mind. Manning is just 6,900. That's a pretty low price. Again, it sort of is in that middle range where you're not quite paying up and you're not going down for a value guy. But for that reason, maybe he's overlooked a little bit, but I can certainly see pairing Manning with Beckham. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to pay for Brandon Marshall at 6,500. He had a nice bounce back last week, but I'm not buying that quite yet.
No.
And then Sterling Shepard is so involved, 5,300. If I am doing a stack-like situation here, it's probably Beckham, Shepard, and Manning for me.
Yeah, Ingram is getting four catches a game too, which is nice. But yeah, Brandon Marshall, I'm not touching him. It was nice of him to take a week off from his TV show to actually play some football, but I'm not going to touch him most weeks.
Do we know if Grimes is back for this game?
I think he's still questionable.
If he's still out, then there's no question you're paying for Odell Beckham Jr.
Absolutely. What about the running backs?
Nothing to see here.
Perkins, Vereen. We may see
Perkins
a little.
Perkins is last in the NFL in yards per carry right now, I believe.
That wouldn't surprise me. 2.1 yards per carry. Vereen is dinged up. I think Darkwa is dinged up. What if Wayne Gallman? 3,100. What if both Vereen and Darkwa are out, and all we're left with is Perkins, who they've basically already moved on from, and the rookie Wayne Gallman?
Even in that scenario, I would have trouble.
That's more of like a season-long, like a premature speculation kind of thing.
You have to think that the game flow there is they get up early on a couple Beckham touchdowns. No Levante David in that defense. Yep. Joe McCoy goes out with the injury, so they just decide to run clock and feed Wayne Gallman.
That'd be bold.
That's an interesting scenario.
You never know. Maybe we'll get some steam on Sunday morning. You know, if those two other backs are out or significantly hobbled, and Gallman is up and active, you never know.
I can't wait for the "I told you so" on Monday from CP.
I'm rushing out to pick up Wayne Gallman in all the leagues. I'm desperate for running backs.
Let's see, Buccaneers side. We've got Mike Evans with another tough matchup here, right? It almost the Giants have three really good cornerbacks, but Janoris Jenkins the most likely one to kind of follow Evans around. So Evans, kind of like Dez Bryant, has had a little bit of a gauntlet here. He's had some tough matchups. He didn't seem to think last week's matchup with Xavier Rhodes was tough. But the road, the stats would tell otherwise. Yeah. He had just 7 catches on 12 targets.
There was one where he had him beat and Winston completely missed him.
But. Yeah. So, but 8,700 for me in this matchup, it's just too much.
Yep. Agreed.
And DeSean Jackson, it's just, he's the home run hitter where he's going to get you a touchdown and maybe pay off his 5,200. And if he doesn't find the end zone, he's not even close. Winston, I'm not interested in. He looks really bad through their first couple of games. What about the running game?
Well, I think you're missing the boat on Cameron Brait. I know the snaps are down a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
but
Giants. Tight ends against Giants.
Tight end has scored against the Giants. Every
Death
tight end is top.
Yeah, here's our guy then, 3,800. He's right in this range. Yep. So Cameron Brait.
5 catches to every tight end so far. 5 for 42 and a touchdown to Ebron. 7, 59 and 1 to Witten, 8, 55 and 1 to Ertz. Yeah, it's a big opportunity for Brait.
There's your value tight end play of the week right there. What about on the ground? If the Giants have any weakness, it is against the run. Right now, according to Football Outsiders, they rank 29th against the run, allowing 4.3 yards per carry, 130 rushing yards per game. Is this Jacquizz Rodgers' last chance, right? This is because Martin will be back next week, or is Martin out 2 more games?
Martin comes back week 5 because they're week 1.
Oh, because of the bye. That's what's throwing me off.
I had
week 4 in my mind, but the bye threw that off.
You're right, though. This is Rodgers' last chance.
So 5,700. He's looked bad so far, just 3.4 yards per carry. Last week against the Vikings, the game flow didn't go his way because they had to play catch up. So I don't know. 5,700 against, again, this is the easiest and best way to try to move the ball against the Giants is on the ground. So I could see Rodgers getting a decent amount of carries here, but 5,700 is maybe a little rich.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his price tag and there's a guy right below him that we'll talk about in a couple games that I'd much rather
like better.
Pay for.
Look at that tease.
All right. Oakland at Denver. We already teased Simeon. It seemed like you like him. Let's see what he's at. He's at just 5,900.
Yeah, he's in that range of value quarterbacks.
Yeah, Fanball refuses to up Trevor Siemian's price because he's had a couple of decent games.
I think
it's the
Northwestern angle.
That must be it. He did come back to earth last week with no touchdowns. Of course, it was the week before when he had 4 touchdowns. But yeah, 5,900 against an Oakland defense that's really struggled against the pass. It's kind of intriguing if you're paying down. Do you like Trevor Siemian better or Case Keenum better?
Siemian.
Yeah.
I mean,
even with the pricing,
that's only $300.
Is it? Was Keenum 55? I thought it was 54.
No, he's 54.
So
500
bucks.
Right. Yeah, I probably. Wow. It depends on what the rest of my lineup looks like. If I need that $500, I have no problem. We're talking splitting hairs here, but yeah, the Oakland has given up, 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games to quarterbacks?
Yep.
I think there's definitely going to be some of that. Siemian has just been too on fire with his touchdown passes. I can see a multiple touchdown game again.
So who's he going to throw him to? Demaryius Thomas at 7,300 or Emmanuel Sanders at 6,400? Sanders has a couple of touchdowns, but Thomas has significantly more yardage. I don't know. Maybe... I don't know. How do you handicap this? How do you pick between the two? Do you just take the cheaper guy?
Yeah, I think you employ Brian's strategy of taking the lesser price because, Sanders has been the touchdown guy. Thomas hasn't been a touchdown guy the last 2 years.
Yeah.
That's no longer his bit. So I'll bank on a touchdown somehow going to Sanders.
Yeah, and we're not really worried about either of the corner matchups. David Amerson was ranked highly statistics wise last year. He's not really this year, so I don't know if the cornerback matchups don't really tell us anything there either. So let's go with the cheaper guy in Sanders. What about the running game? Any interest in CJ Anderson? He's 6,600. Lost out on a touchdown to Jamal Charles last week. Charles seems to be getting more and more involved, although I guess he's had 10 touches in every game.
Yep.
So maybe that's totally wrong. But last week he happened to score a touchdown on one of them, and it coincided with a game where C.J. Anderson did next to nothing, just 8 carries. But I don't think we're worried about the timeshare there flip flopping, are we?
No.
That Charles is going to end up getting more. They seem like they're in this zone of
they're comfortable.
We know that we can't overwork Jamal Charles. And so then at 6,600, though, for C.J. Anderson, a guy who's getting only 2/3 of the carries, is there anything here?
No.
Okay. Other side of this matchup, significantly tougher defensive matchup here for the Raiders. Derek Carr is at 7,300. Amari Cooper, $7,000. Michael Crabtree, 7,100. I don't think with these corners on Denver, I just can't see paying for those wide receivers. Maybe the guy you look at is Jared Cook at tight end. You know, we say it week after week, really one of the best ways to move the ball against Denver is over the middle with your tight end or a slot guy.
Yep.
So maybe Jared Cook at 4,300. I think he found the end zone last week. He's been relatively consistent. I guess I would say I like Brate. I like a couple of the other guys that we've talked about a little bit better.
More.
But yeah, do you guys agree too with my assessment of the passing game? We're out on the passing game, right?
Yeah.
I'm out on everything Raiders, I think, this week.
Yeah, Lynch too, right? 6,900. Yep. And Denver
has not allowed a rusher over 50.
No. Yards. And I remember, you know, coming into this in week one, we kind of looked at Denver's defense from last year and said, you know what? They weren't as good as maybe you thought they were. They gave up some games to running backs last year, but this year they've given up almost nothing.
Yep.
So I'm not paying 6,900 for Marshawn Lynch. Sorry, Charge. You can't make me do it. what do we got? Are we on our last game?
Yeah,
we are
closing her out
with the Sunday night game. Oh, it's a bad Sunday night game. Indy at Seattle. Yeah. Jacoby Brissett had the big game last week with the two touchdowns. He's priced way down at 5,300. You going in on Brissett on the road in Seattle?
No. Hard pass.
All right. So then there's just nothing to like here. T.Y. Hilton, you certainly can't get excited about. Jack Doyle.
Yeah, Jack Doyle rewarded everyone last week with their faith in him against
Great
Cleveland.
Great matchup and crap the bed.
And the running backs are even worse. So let's just move on to the other side.
Maybe, I guess, the price at 7,700, I was going to try and make a case for T.Y. Hilton because that Seattle secondary is not what it used to be. Plus, they're prone to the big, long play, and that's where T.Y. gets it done, but at 7,700, I'm not paying for that.
It sucks because the Seattle run D is terrible this year. And
I know.
Do you want to play Gore?
But there's just no way to take advantage of it here. Gore's averaging 3 yards per carry, has a couple of touchdowns, but Marlon Mack, the guy that people thought was, you know, the sneaky rookie that was going to come from out of nowhere, averaging 1.3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
So nothing to like there. What about the Seattle side here is maybe where it gets interesting. And this is where Brian's theory of having a couple players in the hammer game, right, the Sunday night game to put you over the edge in a GPP. If you were employing that strategy, well, yeah. First of all, let's just say this: Chris Carson
might be
the most popular play on FanBall.
Especially with Procise out.
Yeah, Procise is out. Carson has clearly taken the lead in this backfield over Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls. Carson's only 5,600.
That's the guy when we were talking Jakiz Rogers. He's $100 less than Jakiz Rogers, and
assuming people are paying attention, Carson might be the highest owned player on FanBall this week. But again, it might be a situation where you can't afford not to have him at just 5,600 against an Indy defense that's just bad.
Although the stats, I mean, they're statistically, they look good because they haven't played anybody yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they played Gurley and the whatever's left of Chris Johnson, I suppose.
They lost to Gurley, 46-3 or whatever it was.
All right, so Carson is the one guy that you pretty much have to have. You don't want to be sitting on top in a GPP going into the Sunday night game and realize, oh, crap, I don't have Chris Carson.
Right.
So he's in your lineup. Anybody else? Russell Wilson is 7,900.
It's a little steep.
You know, I feel like that's price adjusted for the matchup here. And, of course, Wilson is coming off. He finally had that breakout game with 373 yards and 4 touchdowns. Last week, so I can see a lot of people putting two and two together there with the breakout last week and an easy matchup here and putting Wilson in their lineup. I guess that's where I might do a contrarian thing, you know, thinking that Wilson's going to be highly owned and decide not to do that and hope that it's Chris Carson all the time and that they're running the clock down in the second half instead of having to throw very much. But what about the wide receivers? Doug Baldwin, 7,800. Paul Richardson, Tyler Lockett. Not much there. Tight end Jimmy Graham finally showed up in week three, but he's been really quiet. I don't know. Maybe that's the angle here. Is this the Jimmy Graham breakout?
They're all just kind of nicked, and there's just enough question, and their price is just high enough. Like, if I'm going to shell out, I want to find a little bit more of a sure thing.
Yeah, I guess the only one. I'm always on the Paul Richardson bandwagon just because he gets the targets. But, yeah, it's tough this week. I don't even know that I'd go with Graham. Granted, Indy hasn't played any real tight ends yet, but they haven't really allowed anything to tight ends either.
All right, I think that's it. Let's wrap this up. We didn't was anybody making a lineup as we went along like Matt Harrison does? Okay,
no.
So we will not leave you with Matt Harrison's horrible lineup choices, unfortunately. So you won't know who not to pick this week, but hopefully by listening to all of this, you will know who to pick. Thanks for listening again. Go to fanball.com/charch for the $5 entry Chase Charch contest. And it's fanball.com/SFB for Scott Fishbowl for that tournament as well. Thanks for listening. See you next week.